In her reflection, Jan Rozin posed a number of questions which I feel could all be seen as aspects of one overarching one. How do we deal spiritually with unexpected change? For instance, a sudden career disruption, a serious health issue, or a drop in our physical or mental capacities, a divorce, an unforeseen death, etc. And Jan asked, can we simply blast this challenge out of the way, or do we need to figure out ways to go over, around, or under instead? To my mind, at least in part, she also answered her own question when she said that, quote, serious change must come from deep within our fundamental self or soul. As many of you know, I've been sharing some thoughts on this fundamental self and the notion of transcendence in general through the lens of the soul's particular earthly calling. And while I'll continue with that some next month, today I'll explore a more general but no less vital aspect of plugging into this transrational sphere of awareness. I'll begin by saying that on the level of personality, it can be extremely helpful to better understand ourselves to the degree that's possible. Tools like the Myers-Briggs Personality Type Indicator, the Enneagram, and many others can help us better know our own and others' core orientations to life, our base fears, typical coping mechanisms, and more. This can benefit us in many ways, particularly when faced with adversity of one sort or another. And I suggest that beyond our personality is our essence, soul, spirit, a presence with a capital P. James Joyce spoke of a human experience he called aesthetic arrest, when something in the world enters our awareness that completely seizes our attention. It might be a work of art, or something in nature, or seeing an animal, be it wild, or a friendly dog, or a baby's face, or hearing a sound, or a passage of music. And though spiritual teacher Eckhart Tolle doesn't use that term, he describes how, when it happens, we think it's the thing, the particular stimulus, that brings us into this intense awareness. That's true, he says, but only indirectly. For what we're really experiencing through this is a moment of what he calls spacious presence, a state in which our usual flow of thought is utterly suspended and, quote, you are connected to the depths of yourself, to a consciousness that arises from a place that is deeper than the human mind. He further speaks of people who enjoy, and in some cases in a way feel addicted to, intense physical activities that require total concentration, for example, motor racing, surfing, or mountain or rock climbing. Again, they usually think that it's the activity, but again, it's true but only tangential, because it's the activity that forces one into the present moment from which arises, quote, an intensified aliveness, because the stream of thinking has subsided for a moment. And Tolle clarifies that in doing this, people, quote, have not fallen below thought, as one does when, for example, using alcohol or drugs to arrest thinking, which they do, but they have risen above thought into that state of beautiful presence, no thought, but intense awareness. This often results in feelings of euphoria, as he says, and that's why also it feels so alive. It is a liberation from your personality, with all the conditioning from the past, all your viewpoints and opinions and likes and dislikes and complaints and regrets and grievances. Suddenly you're liberated from that. Wow. And you're just a conscious presence. By the way, I've abridged and at times rearranged some of Tolle's comments here, but always the essence remains intact. Ultimately, spiritual awakening is the ability to enter this presence intentionally. And on this, there's good news. For as Eckhart Tolle says, Once you know that, you can actually invite it more into your life. That is, we can practice. And when you consciously know it, these experiences become longer, the periods when you are in spacious presence. And then comes the time when you can actually choose to be in spacious presence. You don't have to wait for an external stimulus. That is the shift in consciousness, he says. So that, yes, there is still a personal self there. Of course you remember your history, but something else has emerged, so that the person you are is no longer the source for your sense of identity. Something else has arisen, which we could call presence or awareness. And increasingly, you realize that the essence of who you are isn't the person. The essence of who you are, he says, is the underlying consciousness. So on the one hand, you are a person, which is the ripple on the surface of the ocean, but you are more fundamentally the ocean. Russ Hudson co-authored what I consider a terrific book called The Wisdom of the Enneagram. And one main reason I like it is that while it dives deeply into helping us understand ourselves and others as personalities, it also echoes Tolle in describing moving beyond personality and our habitual thinking into our spiritual essence. Late in the book, in a section aptly titled Toward Spiritual Maturity, Hudson describes a profound occurrence of this dual awareness emerging while on a spiritual retreat, and in part uses similar imagery. He writes, here abridged, "We were engaged in a work period, and I was working on the second floor of a dormitory, slowly and mindfully washing windows. Because this activity had nothing to do with my normal ego agendas, I was free to watch the mechanisms of my personality run wild while I attempted to stay present to my task. Wondering if I was doing a good job, hoping my teacher would notice my efforts, pondering the significance of the moment, and many other thoughts and fantasies played out in my head. Eventually, however, I noticed something more fundamental. I noticed that something in me felt that it had to keep track of everything. I noticed that my mind was busy running the show, recording events, remembering important observations for later use, and at a deeper level, maintaining an orientation to my experience that felt not only familiar, but necessary. In fact, I was this orientation." That is, like most of us, he was completely identified with his personality and his nonstop thoughts. But then he continues. But then, at that moment, something remarkable happened. I saw that I did not need to maintain that watchful orientation. I could relax and let go, and the windows would still get washed. Some inner tension relaxed, and suddenly my experience became immediate and unmediated by my mental activity. I was simply there as presence. He uses a capital P. The window washing was occurring. My body was moving and breathing. The leaves moved in the trees. Outside, everything flowed. But there was no sense of separation. The world, including me, was a single, magnificently beautiful flowering or unfolding that went on and on and on. Yet all of this occurred within a vast, peaceful stillness that was undisturbed by this flowing, transforming play of reality. What I usually took to be the ground of reality, the everyday world, was indeed real. But it was more like the play of sunlight on the surface of the ocean. I could see the shimmering reflections on the waves, but was also aware of the depth of the ocean beneath, and knew myself to be at that depth. And he concludes, "What was most striking about this experience is that I saw that it was entirely possible to be aware of myself as a profound depth of being, but also to function quite normally in the world, eating, conversing, working, and resting. Respecting and loving others came quite naturally because I actually experienced the true nature of the situation. In other words, realizing our true natures liberates us from the cravings and illusions of our personality so that we are able to interact from moment to moment with simplicity, grace, and unshakable inner peace. We know who and what we are, and that endless inner restlessness ceases. We are free to accept the greatest and most precious gift of all, the unfathomable mystery of our being. So, how does that all strike you as a way to move through life? I hear a yes. Yeah, I'm saying yeah. And for one thing, note the ethical orientation and bearing that automatically emerges when one awakens to their essence as pure consciousness. Respecting and loving others came quite naturally, he said. Second, Russ Hudson was still aware of himself as a ripple, but one that, as he said, knows who and what we are, and one that can now thus act gracefully from the deepest depths of its, of our, oceanic being. Applying this to Jan's overall question, how do we deal spiritually with unexpected change? Tolle poses one of his own, saying the key question when facing adversity is, what is the state of consciousness with which you meet any arising challenge? This determines how the challenge is experienced and how you respond. And when we're aware of ourselves as the presence that Hudson describes, Tolle says that you can take action, but the action arises out of the sense of presence rather than the accumulated conditioning of your mind. You look at every situation that arises and you're present, and you face it, and you accept it the way it is. And then greater intelligence operates in you, and spontaneously you do the right thing. Spontaneously, you say the right thing. Or spontaneously, you refrain from doing anything because you recognize that at that moment, there's nothing to do and you're at peace. Again, does that sound like an orientation to life that could work? Yeah. And we also recognize profoundly that our essence is beyond our physical form. So while still honoring and appreciating the world of form with its passions and beauties and achievements, we're not strictly identified with it, and hence not obsessively attached to what happens to ours, which, as the Buddha and others point out, only results in suffering. Instead, whether suddenly or slowly, as our form inevitably weakens, loses abilities, and ultimately dissolves, yes, we can grieve the diminishment of our ripple as we travel, in Jan's words, in between what was and what will be, in between who we were and who we will become, in between saying hello and saying goodbye to this particular form. Yet we can also tap into the expansive and eternal presence that is, reprising Hudson, aware of the depth of the ocean beneath and know ourselves to be at that depth. In that spirit, let's end with a smaller seated version of our exercise that we began with, which you can do any time to invoke a level of this presence. Simply bend your elbows and breathe in presence. Turn your palms down and breathe out. Breathe in presence and out. Let your mind go. Breathe in presence and out. Rest in the consciousness of this spacious presence for some moments. liberated, light, enlivened. And stay with that presence as I say that concerning challenges in your life, whether personal or collective, may whatever actions you take arise always from this place, where, as Eckhart Tolle put it earlier, you are connected to the depths of yourself, to a consciousness that arises from a place that is deeper than the human mind. Namaste, and blessed be.